You are a very honored and distinguished guest of this audience. We put this call on with you in mind. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible has complete authority, and the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We're trying to go to heaven, and we're looking for people who want to be among the few. For Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many would go that way. But he also says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You must be narrow-minded in order to go to heaven. Narrow-minded right down to the Bible being right over you, your mama, your daddy, your preacher. It doesn't matter who it is. Go to heaven. You got to be narrow-minded. If the Bible has all the right answers, and only those who are seeking the truth will find it. That's what Jesus said. If you say you believe in Jesus, then believe in everything he said. Let us go to God in prayer. We open up this prayer call. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this day you've given us, and we are grateful for all of those who have called in. We got hundreds of callers. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've afforded us through COVID-19 to do a month-long gospel meeting, one that has never been done before, via conference call. And we're thankful. We pray your blessings upon us, upon our family at Holland Heights, as we keep our mind focused on the saving of souls. We thank you for every sister congregation who supports us. And we especially thank you for our visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ, but yet they are seeking truth, knowing it was your Son who said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it was you, Father Jesus, who said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. We thank you for this opportunity. We pray for our speaker. We pray for our visitors that they will open their Bibles, follow along, that their hearts will be pricked, and they will obey the gospel tonight before it's everlasting, eternally too late. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm very thankful to have a co-host that's faithful to this effort that we're putting in. All the preachers who are on the call who are supporting us, we thank you. Brother Flounder has been a blessing to my life, and we organized this together. And we're thankful his congregation supports him as well. Tonight, I'm honored to introduce our speaker for tonight is my friend, my assistant minister, and a man who has been right by my side in my ministry here at Holland Heights. Our family at Holland Heights love him. They love me. I love him. And I know that he's a man of the book. Now, I will ask you to give your attention to my assistant minister and friend, Brother Horace Stroud. He will speak on the subject, the truth about baptism. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. As you said, we are friends and co-laborers with the congregation that meets and Acres Homes in the 44, Houston, Texas. If you ever come to visit in Houston, please give us a visit. I'm thankful and excited tonight to be given the subject, the truth about baptism. And I want to thank all of those nationwide, those that are members of the body of Christ that are on the call to support the call. But we know that this call has a target audience, as we call them in Holland Heights, those that have not that are not members of the Church of Christ. You are our VIPs, our very important persons on tonight. And I want to look at this tonight And I've given the truth about baptism. I want to share some things, and I want to also address my subject tonight. And so I would like to teach this lesson this evening as if the person that is listening on the call tonight has no previous knowledge of what is written in the Bible. Therefore, I ask that you, if you are one of our VIPs, I want you to get your Bible. I'll be reading from the King James Version, and I want you to find, using the front of your Bible, they have what is called a table of contents. I want you to mark that it may assist you in locating the books of the Bible, as I will give various books, chapter, and verses for the things that will be discussed. I ask that you read and follow along as we look at this subject that carries with it an everlasting consequence. Yeah. The truth about baptism has an everlasting consequence. So I want us to look at the Bible. Now, four things I want you to understand about the Bible, and we're going to read it in the Bible. Four things. One, Bible must be read. Two, the Bible must be understood. Three, the Bible must be studied. And four, the Bible must be obeyed. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 4. We'll find the first two points about the Bible. When Paul was writing a letter to the Ephesians, he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, and hopefully you'll be able to stay with me, but I'll read the text. Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. For two points about the Bible. The Bible is to be read and the Bible is to be understood. What do you mean by understand, Brother Stroud? What I mean is that if I would ask any of you, I would say, well, pick up that glass, will you pick up that glass for me? You would grab it with your hand and secure it. But when the Bible talks about understand, the Lord is saying to be able to grasp something with your mind, that you can hold on to it. So you have to understand, Paul said, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So again, you have to read it, and then you have to understand it. But thirdly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible teaches, Paul, in writing to Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved who? Unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. So not only must you read the Bible, not only must you understand the Bible, but you also have to study the word of God. You have to study the word of God. And then that which you study, you have to believe it. John chapter 20 and verse is number 31. John chapter 20, verse is number 31. John wrote the gospel according to John, he said in verse 30, and John 20 and 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He says in verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So again, those things that we find in the Bible, those things are written. John said when he wrote the gospel according to John, those things were written that you might believe that Jesus Christ. So not only must one read the Bible, not only must one understand the Bible, but you have to study the Bible, and you have to believe the things that are written. And then in Romans 10, turn your Bibles there, and verse number 16. Romans 10 and verse 16. Paul, in his writing to the Romans, he said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. So not only must one take the Bible and read it, Not only must one understand it, but one must study of the Word of God, and also you have to believe the things that are written in the Bible. And then you have to obey, and he says, the gospel. And I'll talk about that, the importance of the gospel. So again, that's what we want to know about the Bible. Four things about the Bible. Read it, understand it, study it, believe what's written, and then one must obey it. So I want to discuss from the Bible God's will in three types. God has a will for man. God has a will. But you have three types of wills that God has. Number one, God has his sovereign will. Go to Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is number 11. We'll find, when I say sovereign will, S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N, sovereign will, that means that God exercises supreme authority. There is no limits. There is God's power is without limits. God is always in control. God is. Notice what he said in Ephesians 1 and verse 11. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to his to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God has a will, and God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God have a sovereign will. And I'm saying that now because we're living in a time now about the coronavirus. And understand, God is always in control. God is in control of this disease and epidemic and those things. God is in control. That's God's sovereign will. But also, now, for us, let us understand that God has a revealed will. Yeah. Both in word and also in our conscience. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, I want us to know that the Bible is God's revealed will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, Paul said, but it is written. Notice now, but it is written. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God, notice this now, has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God has revealed his will to us, and it is called the Bible. We have 66 books. God has revealed his will to us. But also, not only has God revealed his will to us, but also we have a conscience. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 14. God also has revealed things to our conscience. Notice what Paul says in Romans 2 and 14. But when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show, verse 15, the work of the law written, watch this here, in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else accusing one another. You don't have to go to the Bible to tell a person that stealing is wrong. Your conscience will tell you when you're taking something that don't belong to you. So God has also given man a conscience, but he has revealed his will to man. And we know that to be true. In Deuteronomy 29 and 20, I'm just establishing the fact that God has a will. In Deuteronomy 29 and the verse 29, we'll find Moses wrote about those first two wills. He says, notice now, in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the Bible referred to God's sovereign will. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Notice what he said, that we may do all the words of the law. God has the word. God has those secret things that God is in control of, those hidden things. Those things belong to God, but those things that are revealed in the word of God, those things that he has given unto us, and we are to do the things that we see. And then God has, thirdly, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, God has his permissive will. God permits or allows things. God permits or allows things. Notice he says in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, for who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God's desire is that all men will be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus. So we have, God has, there's one God. God has a mediator between him and man. That man is Christ Jesus. But God would have all men to be saved. But God has his permissive will. He allows and permits man to make decisions for himself. One of those we find, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 27 right quick, and I'll make this point, and then I will deal more specifically with the text that I've been given. And Acts 27, I want to show us something. And verse number 33 of Acts 27, the Bible says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat or take food, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Notice what he says in verse 34. He said, wherefore I pray you that you take some food, for this is for your health. So when it comes to the word health in the text means safety, Paul told them, you guys have gone 14 days without food. You need to take some food because it's for your health. If you don't eat, you're going to die. And I know with this coronavirus, there's questions now about getting together. But I'm saying to all of us, we have to take safety precautions. We need to be wearing our masks. We need to be exercising social distancing. Why? Because it's for our health. Paul established that fact, that do things that are for your health, for your physical health. Those things that I say, keep myself safe, that I may not come in contact with those that may be positive for the coronavirus. I have to do what is safe for me. Irregardless of what the governor, the president permits me to do, I have to do what's best for my safety. Yeah, so I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to keep my social distancing. Why? Because it's for my health. That's physically. But now also, let us look at man's spiritual safety and how baptism is involved in that. The truth about baptism. So again, as it relates to your physical health, do the things that keep yourself safe. You understand God has a permissive will. He allows things, but I have to do what's best for my safety. Now, my text tonight. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, Mark 16 and verse 15, the truth about baptism. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved. So we find Jesus makes the point, when it comes to my spiritual safety, Jesus said it's the responsibility of those that are members of the Lord's church to teach and to preach the gospel. The gospel is the fact, and I'll show it in the text, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. Jesus said we are to preach that to every creature. If the person believes it in the Bible, then you baptize them, and that person is saved. Yeah, that person is saved. So the truth about baptism is that baptism can save a person. Look at Romans chapter 6 and the verses number 1. Why should a person be baptized? Because all of us have sinned. There is as Brother Brooks said, with our congregation, a Sonora virus, meaning a sin virus that every man has. And there's only one way to get rid of that sin virus that we all have. And notice in Romans 6 and verse 1, Paul, in writing to the church of what they had done, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? All of us have the Sonora virus. The Bible says in verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are, notice now, dead to sin, live any longer therein? Understand this here. You have to die to sin. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. That word baptism, into death. Now, understand this here. Whenever a person dies, we have to bury that individual. Yeah, it's only so when the old man dies to sin, he requires a burial. However, unlike a physical burial today where we cover him with dirt, this person is buried in water. You still have to bury a dead person. That's what baptism is by definition. Baptism is an act of putting someone completely in water, or immersion, or submersion. A submarine travels underwater. That's a submarine. But when you submerge somebody, you put them underwater. You completely cover that individual. That's the truth about baptism. When a person dies, you have to bury that individual. Our old man of sin dies, we have to bury him, and we bury him in water, that the person knows what it says, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So now, notice this here. Jesus Christ died for our sin. They nailed Jesus to the cross. He was on the cross for 6 hours until he gave up the ghost and died on that cross. When he died, they buried him in a tomb, and then he rose 3 days later. That's the gospel again, indeed. What we must do in order to become a child of God, we must imitate what Christ did. He died for sin. Romans 6:2 says we die to sin, but we are buried with Christ into his death. When he died, they pierced him in the side. The Bible says, John 19:34, that out came blood and water. Those two elements was necessary and was present when Christ died. When we die to sin, those same two elements must be necessary. Look at John 19 and verse number 34. I don't want to assume you know the Bible. I said at the offset, I want you to read what's in the Bible. Notice in John 19:32, the Bible says, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first. Remember, he died between two thieves, and of the other, which was crucified with him. They crucified Jesus, nailed him to the cross. The Bible said, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Verse 34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, when you die to sin, we put you in the water. By faith, it is the blood of Jesus that's in the water that by faith that cleanses you of all your sins. Yeah, and then you rise, the Bible says back in Romans 6 and 4, for we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So Christ rose up. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when that old man and sin died, you got to bury the person. You bury him in water. That's the truth about baptism. You bury him in water. You bury him in water. You, that person is dead. The old man is dead. The Bible says he is crucified with Christ. However, when Christ got crucified, he had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Our being dying with him, we go down in the water. And we come up, the Bible says, to walk in the newness of life. Now, why should one be baptized? Let's go back to Acts 22, one chapter over, in verse number 16. Trying to finish this lesson tonight. Why should one be baptized? The Bible tells us in Acts 22:16 concerning the Apostle Paul, before he was sought, while he was Saul, the Bible says, and now why tarry thou? Arise and notice and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So again, baptism in water washes away our sin, but we know that it is the blood of Christ that cleanses one from their sin. The, by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. Yeah, you can't be cleansed of sin. Look at Hebrews 9:22, and I want you to read that. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the without shedding of blood is no remission. The word remission means forgiveness. So blood had to be shed in order for a person's sins to be forgiven. The blood that was shed was the blood of Jesus Christ. So now, why should one be baptized? Because not only does it wash away your sins, go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. What baptism does, not only wash away your sins, washing away your sins is one thing, but the Bible tells us also in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. Yeah, so God adds you to the church when you obey the gospel, the will of God. It's God's will that men obey the gospel, and if you obey it, then God would add you to the church. There's only one church. And we find, what is the church that the one is? Go back to Romans chapter 16 and the verse is number 16. We'll find that when Paul was concluding his letter, manuscript, to those that were Christians now, he said in verse 16 of Acts, Romans 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So understand this here. When the about baptism is, baptism saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So the truth about baptism is that baptism will save a person. I'll conclude in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll show you again the word baptism as it is written in the scripture. I want you to believe that which is written. And so Peter, when he wrote his first letter, in 1 Peter 3:18, notice he shows us also the gospel when he says, for Christ also, 1 Peter 3:18, has once suffered, notice, for sin. Jesus died, suffered for sin. He was the just for those of us that are the unjust, that he might, notice, bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And notice verse number 20. He said, we sometimes were disobedient, we once the long-suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, notice now, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So we obey God. It's a good conscience toward God. We do what the Bible says to do. And let me say this. You can only be taught properly by someone who is a Christian. Someone in the Lord's church has to teach you what God has commanded you to do. And when you obey that, then the Lord will add you, as I said tonight, to the church. So the truth about baptism saves a person. If I read the Bible, I understand it, I study it, I obey it, and water baptized for the remission of sins, the Lord adds me to the church, then I'm obeyed in the Lord. I just have to grow in the Lord and live faithful to the Lord to the best of my ability. Then the everlasting consequence of that, I will not make hell my home. Heaven one day will be my home. That's the everlasting consequence. So I thank you tonight for allowing me to share with you God's word, the truth about baptism. I turn it over to our facilitator tonight. Thank you very much for allowing me to enter into your hearts from the word of God.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. I'm very excited and thankful to have you as my assistant minister. It brought it home, understanding that baptism, there is a truth about baptism. And we have four speakers this month. You know, if you have someone who really want to know more about baptism, at least listen to every night, Monday night. It's going to be information about baptism. The things I know about our speakers, they're all going to speak sound doctrine. I'm very selective about who I'm bringing on this call. We believe that the preachers that we bring on must believe that the Bible has the absolute authority. And so we thank you, Brother Stroud, for pointing out tonight that baptism is a burial. The dead, old man must die and rise to walk in newness of life. And the fact that once you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're added to the one true church, the Church of Christ. This is the message that we want our visitors to hear. We don't say this because we're just trying to be mean or anything like that. What we're doing, we're speaking the truth in love. And all of our preachers that we're selecting, we know love you. They love your soul. They fear God, and they're going to keep his commandments. That means they won't add to the word or take from it. However, we will not sugarcoat it to make it sound good. It must be preached as written in the scriptures, Brother Stroud told us tonight. To our visitors, those who are on the call who are not members of Church of Christ, you may not share tonight in our religious conviction. But remember, if you're a Bible-believing person, you will not have a problem with anything we say, because the Bible itself is for believers. It's, when I say B-I-B-L-E, I mean believers' instruction before life ends. The people who believe the Bible will not have a problem with anything we'll teach on our conference call. During this whole gospel meeting, you'll be fine if you believe the Bible. So we thank you. Now, if you want to go back and listen to this call, again, it's recorded. All of our calls are recorded. If you're dealing with baptism issue, or you want to understand more about the one church, or you want to understand more about the sinner's prayer, if you want to understand more about the true worship, you want to understand more about who go to heaven, you can pick which day and listen to all four preachers. And all of our preachers will preach from the Bible, but they'll come a different angle. So that's our goal. Our goal is to save souls. And I want you to feel the love I'm speaking tonight to our visitors. We love you. We're saying this because this is a time when on national TV they're posting death. This is not accidental. God is doing this. It's time for people to think about what they're doing in their religion. What do you believe? What will you die believing? What we're suggesting is that you best die believing that this book called the Bible, if you say you're a believer in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, then believe that baptism is essential for salvation. Not like what Frank the Grammar is saying. It's not a sinner's prayer. You must be baptized as commanded by our Lord. If you're on the call now, you want to get baptized, I'll tell you what to do. Get back with the person who got you on the call, put you on the call. You put them in touch with us. They'll get you to a Church of Christ, or you get in touch with them. They'll get you to a Church of Christ that'll baptize you tonight. And then you go invite all of your friends and family on tomorrow. But tomorrow night we got a great gospel preacher coming on, someone I heard once before, and he's powerful. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy tomorrow night. As long all of our speakers have been good, but everyone has their own different talents and their own different gifts. So we're thankful to have all of you supporting us. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for supporting this gospel meeting. This is the first ever gospel meeting via a conference call. We had thousands of people listening tonight. And I know there's going to be some like me and you who were looking for the truth and found it because the Church of Christ preacher spoke book, chapter, and verse, speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. Go to our website to hear at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And on there is posted our flyers for upcoming speakers and all the other things we got going on in Hollow Heights. And my co-host, Brother Flunder, he's going to come on. He's going to tell you about all the upcoming speakers. And we both want to encourage you, if you want us to send you an individual flyer of the upcoming weeks, just send us an email at nationwidegospelcall.com. Nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you have a prayer request, send it to that email address. If you have questions about baptism, send it to nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you have a question for the speaker, send it to that email, and we will have that our speakers to address any question you have about your salvation. We're not about debating on issues, but we want you to answer all your questions as it pertains to what the speaker said and what the Bible speaks. So at this time, I'm going to bring on my co-host, my friend, someone I'm so thankful that's working with me. His heart is pure, and we both have the same motive. That simply is to provide simple gospel messages for people who the least educated can understand what they must do to save their soul. Brother Flunder, will you come on and give us a lineup for next coming night?
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you, Brother Stroud. We appreciate that lesson. On tomorrow night, we have another fantastic speaker by the name of Mel Futrell from Birmingham, Alabama. He'll be speaking on the subject, The Truth About the One Church. And on Wednesday, May 13th, we have Brother Tim Ellerby from Round Rock, Texas. He'll be speaking from the topic, The Truth About the Sinner's Prayer. On Thursday, May 14th, it will be Brother Don Blackwell from South Haven, Mississippi, speaking from the subject, The Truth About True Worship. And on May the 15th, it will be Brother Al Washington from Luling, Texas, speaking from the topic, The Truth About Salvation. We ask that you please continue to support this gospel call. Please share this flyer. Please share this call with anybody you know, your friends, your associates, your family members, your neighbors. Let them know that the gospel is being preached. We have two conference lines that you can call in on now. If the first conference line is full, please call in on line number two. That number is 602-610-2077, and the code is 219-702. Once again, that's 602-610-2077, and the code is 219-702. Also, if you would like a flyer for our upcoming speakers, please once again email our email address at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Please leave us your name, please leave us your email address, please leave us a phone number so that way we can contact you in the future and that way we can keep a database of everyone who has called in. At this time, let us pray for a word of our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and your blessing. We're thankful that the privilege you've given us to be able to have this medium at our disposal in which we can declare your divine word of truth, the gospel about your son, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. We pray, Lord, that your word not return void. We're thankful for Brother Sprout for the message that he delivered on this evening. We pray that those who heard it were able to understand clearly what thus said the Lord. We ask, Lord, as we prepare to embark upon other subjects this week, we pray, Lord, that you give us another opportunity to do your divine will. Pray, Lord, that those who are not members of the Church of Christ heard something this evening that will prick their heart and make them inquire about what is required for their soul to be saved. We pray, Lord, for your Son's church, the Church of Christ, that it continue to grow, that it continue to stand on sound doctrine, that it continue to be the church of the Bible, Lord. We ask that you give us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Pray for Brother Brooks and the Highland Heights congregation who continue to put on this gospel call as they have for 20 years, but now day after day. We ask this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We will encourage everyone. Give us some feedback on nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We would like to hear positive feedback, and we would love to hear from you. Please email us. Let us know what you're thinking. And we're thinking about doing June. I'd love to hear from some of the members of the church. How about 2 months of a gospel meeting? Have you ever heard of that? Send us an email. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We're thinking that we're going to do this again in June. But I'd love to have your feedback. We love you. And may God bless you to rest nice tonight. We'll be back on tomorrow night for the second message of this week. God bless you, and may God keep you is our prayer. Go to our Facebook and go to our website to learn more. May God bless you. Good night.